Now that we've hit the month of June, you're going to start to see rainbows, a lot of them, like everywhere. June is Pride Month, but Pride, it's more than just a flag.
What is important? What is the biggest need? What is the best partner in your community? Let's help you work with them to raise funds for them.
Pride Month is seen as a chance for big companies to show support for the community, but is that what's really happening? That depends on where you look. This is The Daily J. I'm Zach Clark. The rainbow flag has long been a symbol for the LGBTQ plus community, so it's natural during Pride Month that you would see it frequently. But do the big brands that change their avatars or send tweets or fly flags, do they mean it? Or is it just an opportunity? That's why in the month of June you'll also hear the term rainbow capitalism. The notion that some of the companies showing themselves as allies in June do it for profit or other gain. Here in southeastern Michigan, a group of Detroit City Football Club supporters took notice, and then they took action. How important is it to know that you're physically supporting this specific organization when your money goes out?
You hit the nail on the head, Zach. That is, rainbow capitalism can be very cynical, right? It can be a way to sell merchandise and target a particular interest group while just profiting whoever the company is. I think the beautiful thing about what PrideRaiser is, PrideRaiser is not directly collecting money. This is about connecting people that are pledging to an organization in their community. At the end of the month, we say, hey, listen, you know, you pledged $10 a goal. Your team scored 10 goals. So you need to contribute $100 to this organization in your community. That's what you're doing. We're not collecting money. We're not taking a percent off the top. The club's not getting any money. The leagues aren't getting any money. This is about supporters directly contributing money to an organization in their community. And I think that's really important to us. That isn't about building a brand to profit off of, building a movement to make money off of, but really trying to build an exciting sense of momentum and message and meaning to raise more funds to organizations that need it. So in here in Detroit, the Northern Gong campaign has been raising money, nearly six figures of money between what the supporters have raised and partners like Lyft and Ally over the years that are club sponsors that contribute money as well. During PrideRaiser, it's really powerful stuff.
That right there, that's the voice of Dean Simmer. He's one of the PrideRaiser's lead volunteers. Dean says the LGBTQ plus community is not homogenous, so support has to vary from place to place.
It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's what is important, what is the biggest need, what is the best partner in your community. Let's help you work with them to raise funds for them, and not a, here's how PrideRaiser is solving a problem. It's PrideRaiser is a platform and a movement to give you the tools to help you partner with the right folks that are doing the work in your community to care for this community. And I think that's the part that is most impactful for what we're doing. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It is absolutely about what's happening in Tulsa, what's happening in Ann Arbor, what's happening in San Diego, and all of these places around the continent, really. From where we sit, this small volunteer crew, we can't prescribe the answers to those things. The good news is in your community, you probably have people that are doing incredible work. Let's help you support them and help you get the additional capital to them so they can do that work.
So what happens when your money stays local? You'll know exactly where the money goes and how it's spent. The next voice you'll hear is that of Dave Garcia. Dave's the executive director of Affirmations in downtown Ferndale.
We have programs and services from cradle to grave, really, from our youth group and all the way up to our senior groups, many recovery groups like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. Coming out groups, trans groups, the Ringwald Theaters in the heart of Affirmations. We have the Metropolitan Community Church of Michigan, which is a progressive Christian denomination that meets there every Sunday. We do a lot of therapy and health and human services, including vaccinations for the community, whether that's COVID or others, and the testing and HIV testing. And, like I said, we have three licensed therapists on staff for mental health counseling, and we have a computer lab. We have a sky deck that overlooks 9 Mile. We do a lot of special events and political town halls. So we do a little bit of everything.
There's no question that Pride Month has become a celebration of the progress made in the LGBTQ plus community. Well-earned progress. That's where we are now, but it's important to remember from where we came. Here is Kevin Hurd. He's the president of the Detroit Regional LGBT Chamber of Commerce.
It was because companies and the society and the government wasn't listening to us. You know, nowadays, I'm seeing a lot of marketing coming in from Juneteenth, right? And the great value ice cream and napkins that's celebrating Juneteenth? Was that equitably sourced? Is a Black-owned business supporting that, right? Was there a Black designer that designed it? Who was in the room when you decided to make those products and services that are geared towards the, you know, the Black community? Same thing with LGBT folks. Same thing with, you know, Arab Americans. Like, all of these, we need to be in those rooms making those decisions, because we are literally living and breathing those decisions and how we're treated in society. What to do on July 1st after Pride Month, you do the same thing. You keep that same energy all year round. You listen and you act on it.
Pride Month, well, it's just that, a month. But advocates say it needs to be a year-round commitment.
We've never had more access to information to help you make the right decision, especially when you think about the impact your shopping can make at Pride and all year long. It should give you a sense of real power to affect change. LGBT consumers spend over $917 billion on goods and services all year long. So it is very exciting to see all of our favorite airplane tail fins and liquor bottles and social media icons turn rainbow. But what you want to watch is what happens on July 1st. Those are the companies that not only deserve your support, because they're putting strategy and real effort into a year-round 360-degree commitment, not just to LGBTQ people, but to everyone who's marginalized. And another great thing to consider is, if you're out there looking for ways to support the community with your dollars amid all of this rainbow excitement in the marketplace, remember there's over 1.4 million LGBT business owners out there. Everyone from mom and mom and pop and pop shops all the way up to huge multinational companies owned by queer people.
That voice, that belongs to Jonathan Lovitz. He's a special advisor to the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce. Jonathan tells me that American-owned LGBT businesses add about $1.7 trillion to the national economy every year. There are certainly several topical subjects right now in our everyday life that affect the LGBTQ+ community, and we all know what they are. Though Jonathan from the National LGBT Chamber says it's more nuanced than that.
So if it's a racial issue, if it's a gender issue, if it's an ability issue, if it's an immigration issue, it affects LGBTQ people and vice versa. So when you think about marriage equality, bathroom access, the right for trans people to play on sports teams, you know, that is big and topical and gets people fired up. But it's the banality, it's the little stuff like bank loans and jury duty service and not being kicked out of your home or having your lease canceled because your landlord is a homophobe, which is perfectly legal across the country. So these are the things that should get people fired up and excited as we're celebrating Pride.
Remember what Kevin said earlier, Pride began as a protest. And for the members of the LGBTQ plus community, there is a sense much of for what they fought may be taken away. Here's Dave from Affirmations one more time.
What we're going to see in June with the abortion fight, first of all, Roe v. Wade is a decision based in privacy. The same can be said for Lawrence v. Texas, the sodomy case that was so important for our community. So if anybody thinks that after what happens in June, and the attack on Roe v. Wade and those privacy rights that have been gained, that they're not quickly going to pivot to go after same-sex marriage, which is a decision also based on privacy, I think they're sadly mistaken. That is exactly what is going to happen. Reducing gun violence should matter to the queer community. It should matter because domestic partner violence is just as prevalent in our community as it is in the straight community, often perpetrated with firearms. Suicide is much greater in the LGBT community than it is the straight community, often perpetrated by guns. And then, of course, hate crimes across this country continue to rise against the LGBT community, often gun violence. So reducing gun violence should matter to us. Fighting for a woman's right to choose should matter to us, because these are queer issues. These are not just their problem. It's our problem.
All of this is not to say that Pride Month is not about celebrations and recognition and entertainment. That is all part of it. But as you go on your way, remember that for many here in Michigan, it's not Pride Month. It's who they are every day. So act accordingly. I had a lot of help today. Thank you so much to Dean Simmer, Dave Garcia, Jonathan Lovitz, and Kevin Hurd for taking time out of a very busy day to talk to me. To check out how Metro Detroit is observing Pride Month, visit wwjnewsradio.com. Our theme music is written and produced by Ozone Music and Sound in Southfield. I'm Zach Clark, and this is The Daily J. Thanks for listening.